This life is a test. Everyone, you're being tested right now. What are you going to do now? You're seeing this. You're seeing this Holocaust, this genocide happening. What are you going to do? You're just going to remain silent? Your silence is your complicitness in this. So God is testing you. Are you going to be on the right side of history or the wrong? Are you going to be in paradise or the hellfire? Are you going to be with God or are you going to be with the devil, with the shaitan?
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ربي اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي فأما بعد May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala untie any knots from our tongue, expand for us our chest, allow us to speak the truth, allow us to be alone in this room without the influence of shaitan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us for any slips or mistakes from ourselves, from shaitan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unite the ummah and allow us to be pillars in doing so. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to influence the Muslim men to be men again. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to be leaders for the righteous. Allahumma ameen.
Ameen. Assalamu alaikum. Welcome back to the Realist Podcast in the dunya with the not one, two, three, but the four Muslims.
Alhamdulillah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Sheikh, thank you so much for having us here.
Alaikum assalam wa
rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alhamdulillah. So today, alhamdulillah, we are in the...
Chi-town.
In Chi-town.
Chi-town. Chi-rak? Or just Chi-town?
They call it Chi-rak, yeah. Chi-town, yeah. You know why that is, right?
Why? Yeah. Tell us why.
Yeah, because if you go a little down south, you know, we're spending money all over the world, you know, fighting all of these, you know, oppressing people and stuff. But you got our neighborhood here in Chicago can use some remodeling and people can take them from sleeping on the streets into, you know, taking care of and giving opportunities and fixing up our neighborhoods. But
they care less about fixing the problems in their own backyard. Wallahi, man, yesterday after we finished the podcast with Dr. Sabil Ahmed, mm-hmm. your esteemed friend.
Yes.
May Allah bless him. We finished the podcast and we were a little bit hungry, mm-hmm. right? We go outside just to get some food. We just hear, pa, pa, pa. And we just pause. And we just keep walking to the car. And we hear, pa, pa, pa again. Like, all right, bro, we're going to go back. We're not going to get no pizza at like 1 a.m. But alhamdulillah, is it actually that bad over here? What do you think? Someone that's lived here.
I mean, I've grew up here my whole life. So it depends. It's like, depends where you're at.
Hmm.
Depends what time of night you're out.
Yeah.
Right? Hmm. The shayateen usually come out... is wisdom why we should be in at a certain hour also. So I think during the day it's good, depending on where you're at.
Yeah.
And what neighborhood and who you're with and what environment you're with. But I mean, Chicago's a nice city, but I think it's gotten a little bit chaotic and hectic.
And the recent downturn of events that everyone knows about, you know, it's led to a lot of hate that's taken the life of that 6-year-old innocent boy.
Yeah, we had that recently, yes.
To Jannah. I mean, Shaheed with ease. And, you know, the sister that was attacked, the hijabi sister in Texas, right? Mm-hmm. So these events that are happening, you know, it's a reminder to ourselves to, you know, take care of our women and children, not let them outside by themselves at night and in dangerous places. But with this being said, how was your initial reaction when October 7th happened?
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. I mean, when the whole situation with what's going on in Palestine, subhanAllah, it was something that, obviously, as Muslims, you know, just making a disclaimer here that anytime, you know, on any side, if you have innocent life being taken, we're against this, obviously. But, you know, when we had this situation where obviously I didn't know really much was going on, but it just had me go back into really investigating and looking into, you know, some of the things that were happening. And you had this whole thing with the 40 babies heads, and you had so much what they call atrocity propaganda being pushed out. And I was like, man, how are people swallowing this? How are people, you know, really, are they that naive? And these things started to come out, and it seemed like all over again, you had post 9/11, all of this people that you were thinking that were more aligning and going towards connecting more with this, the values of Muslims, and they were seeing the whole fight against the alphabet movement and, you know, destruction of the family values and whatnot, trying to change men into women, women into men, and all this, you know, 100 and some genders now. And many Christians were seeing like, hold on, man, the Muslims are holding strong. And we had just came back from doing an event with the PBD podcast with Patrick Ben David. I don't know if you've heard of him. And I was really elated to see how he, himself and one of his other guests, a certain Charlie Kirk, and they were like, hold on, even with all this misinformation that they've been fed and they kind of also regurgitate and they put out there. And I really strongly feel if they sit and talk with us, not talk about us, but talk with us, mm-hmm. right? And not repeat a lot of the same talking points from old or haters of Islam and Islamophobia, just repeating this stuff. I don't know if it's because they're paid, you know, get them more views and clicks and whatnot. But Patrick, David, who I met, and he seemed, you know, very balanced when we did the program. He brought me out and Brother Daniel and Jake and went out there and it turned out pretty good. And alhamdulillah, then everything that just happened. And then it was like, hold on. It's like all this other, everything like went out the window. It was like things started to come to surface again. This hate. And you mentioned the 6-year-old Muslim boy, yeah. The young boy. His landlord was building him a treehouse. And he was, for 2 years, he was almost like an uncle to him, right?
What?
And then that's the young boy. One of the reports saying that he really like, you know, was nice to his family. And then all of a sudden, his wife said that he had been listening to conservative talk radio. You know, the John Hannity, the Sean Hannitys and the like, and these people pushing this, you know, people already on the edge. They don't know what the purpose of life is. They don't have peace and contentment in their hearts. You know, they're already like, you know, living a stressed out, anxiety-filled life. And next thing you know, boom, they're listening to much of this hate propaganda. And then next thing you go, 40 babies and all this other stuff that's like way out there. It's been debunked. CNN came. The person who got this stuff from a extreme settler and whatnot, and then they pulled back. This was actually a lie, and then they took off with it. Then they retracted the story and back. And then you have people like Ben Shapiro keep pushing this stuff. They keep pushing it, fueling. And the guy snaps, and then he goes and kills 26 times. He stabs the young boy. The mother got like I think 11 times or something. Unimaginable. It's out of this world. Power of words. You know, the power of So all this stuff, this is what upsets me, is you see many of these people who are out there preaching, you know, love, and, you know, beautiful teachings of Jesus, peace be upon him, who we love and revere as one of the mightiest messengers, you know, love your neighbor, it's one of the commandments and this, that, but all of a sudden, all that stuff goes out the window now when it comes down to, you know, innocent lives, babies being literally blown up in Palestine, and these are Christians also who are being attacked there and oppressed. So, it's out of this world.
I had no idea that they had a civil relationship, that landlord and the son.
Yeah, they did, yeah. He was their landlord. He wasn't some guy off the street. The landlord, and he was renting to them. And I was just actually on the way to do a program with Ahmed Rehab, who was the, when it broke, he's the care executive. And he was coming to see me. We were about to film an episode, a program with him. And he said, Eddie, this just happened. And then the press conference he did the press conference. I was there, and the next day they had the janazah.
Subhanallah. May Allah SWT grant him Jannah and make it easy for his family and all of them there together. Allahumma ameen. It's funny and very ironic because these are the same people that will say that Islamic rhetoric is violent and it entices people to violence, it calls people towards violence, and they can see in front of their own eyes this. Man who was civil, who was caring, who was maybe even loving to this young boy, all of a sudden, in just a few words, a few stories, one narrative, switched up and committed an insane act of violence. It's sad how deep the propaganda runs. Let's be frank, when a white man does this, it's like, oh, he's just mentally ill. It was a rough time for him, whatever. When a Muslim does it, it's always, oh, their religion entices them to do it. You and me were talking, all four of us were just talking about how there are certain narratives within the rabbi circles and what they've been propagating. And they themselves are calling for what seems to be a complete genocide of what they believe to be the Amalekites of today. And that doesn't just stop at Palestinians, it extends, but let's just focus on Palestine for now because that's exactly what's happening. They're actually calling, and a bunch of them signed a petition to bomb, I think it was either a school or a hospital or something, in Gaza. They know children are there, they know innocents are there, they know civilians are there who are injured, who can't leave, or maybe in babies are in incubators, as I always love to say. But they're saying religiously from the Torah, the way God commanded the believers at the time to kill the Amalekites and every trace of them, even the animals and the livestock, let's kill them in the same way. Why is this narrative not being spoken about in the same radical lens that they speak about Islam with? Why do you think that is?
What we were talking about there was it's when you make that contrast now, when you have Rabbi, and I was asking you, is this something that you've seen that's kind of coming out to the surface? Yeah. And it's good you make a contrast and you can see, like, okay, here when I was, you asked me in the beginning how, you know, kind of, because I always want to make that framework people understand, because I'm always anticipating you have a lot of people out there who are listening and they don't know the whole thing of the story. They already been fed much of the hate propaganda and they're thinking already Muslims are barbaric, are, you know, crazy and dehumanizing them, animals, you know, all this madness. Yeah. So then we show them on the framework what really Islam is about and compare. You look at, even in times of war, it's prohibited to kill non-combatants. This is clear. It's very clear. You know, you can go from the Quran, kill one innocent human being, as if you kill the world. Saving one innocent life as you save the world. Non-combatants is told. And then Prophet Muhammad, who is the last and final messenger sent to mankind, peace and blessings be upon him, and all the prophets, including Jesus and Moses and all the ones that came before him. And you see that he also gave instructions on not to kill non-combatants, women, children, which we're seeing right now. What is the latest count? I think it's like 4,000 children. Children. These are, mm-hmm. I mean, who are literally being dictated, blown up bombs from the top, cowards who are pushing buttons. You know, they come out like men in face, but they're just pushing buttons and bombs are falling and kids are just being annihilated. Just, it's horrific. But then you have the Zionists, these rabbis who are now quoting scripture in there. I think this is what you're referring to. And they're talking about, and I didn't see this stuff before, yeah. But I don't know if they're getting emboldened now and they're actually discussing these verses that have no mercy. So Islam is showing mercy. Yeah. And they're telling no mercy, not even to the donkey or to the horse or the cat, let alone the child, or let alone the woman, let alone just anybody. So now if you contrast and you really see this, I would say, this is my humble opinion, and I've checked with some people who are more knowledgeable than myself on this, I would say this is one of the verses that's been altered and changed, because you know the verse in the Quran where God Almighty Allah is saying, woe to those who write the book with their hands.
Yeah.
And what price and what gains they make by, woe to them. Allah is talking about how they changed the text, they changed the scripture. That's why Allah, God Almighty, sent the last and final messenger with the untampered, altar-free, authentic Quran. We have it.
Yeah.
Because Allah is just. He's not going to go ahead and allow this green light to go killing innocent children. What'd the cat do, man?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Absolutely.
What'd the donkey do? Yeah. What is mm-hmm. it, right?
Yeah.
What the child do? I mean, just, you know, it's like a mind blowing.
Yeah. And now it becomes a question of, are they doing this for religious purposes or are they using religion as a cover up? Because we will even say that extreme sects or groups of Islam are not doing anything for religious reasons. They claim they're doing it for religious reasons, but they're doing it for political reasons. Now, the reason I say this is because it's not just rabbis running with this rhetoric. It's congressmen and women. And when I say that, I don't know if they actually have a congress in Israel or anything, but like it's the actual like state men and women, the officials themselves. One Israeli ambassador, it's a word I'm looking for, she said a child is a child, whether Palestinian or Israeli. And everyone, all the other ambassadors were like yelling at her. Another female ambassador got up and said that the Palestinian children brought this upon themselves. So they have this rhetoric that a child doesn't matter. If they're Palestinian, it's their fault, they're gonna die. There have been many slips and many outright statements of people saying this is not just a war on Hamas, this is a war on all the Palestinians. This is a war on all the civilians. They use that term specifically on live air. So now it's a question of, are they doing this because they have a political goal or are they doing this because they have a religious goal?
Is it not deeply rooted in religion though?
I mean, you have people who I've interviewed from one side. You know, people who I would consider friends, like Miko Pillid. He's an Israeli. He's former IDF. You have Rabbi Weiss. You have Rabbi Shapiro. who actually held one of the largest in, I think it was in New York, gathering of, I think it was almost like 15,000 religious Jews, rabbis.
Anti-Zionist Jews, right?
Yeah. So I always make that disclaimer. This is not a Muslim Jew thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Muslims would love to, Palestinians would love to live in peace like they were living during the time before the Zionists came there and started to occupy and take over their lands. But I usually ask anybody to put themselves in this position. How would you feel? Someone has taken your land. You get upset if somebody's parking in your parking lot, right? In your driveway. You'd freak out, but let alone someone coming to land grab and to take. So now you have people justifying. I think people are trying to use religion to try to justify. It's a convenient thing now. And I often compare this, like when you hear this whole thing, yes, there was a certain group of people at a certain time who were the chosen people, right? Chosen to deliver a message, to call people to the pure monotheism, to call people to be morally upright, not morally bankrupt as far as now these injustices that are going to. So I think now people are using, I was thinking about this deeply. I said, how can a people act in a certain way who are believers in God? How it's a contradiction here. Mm-hmm. So you have people who, like, if you have this entitled child, you know, right? Say a rich entitled child, well, how does he act? He becomes arrogant, right? So I think with this whole thing, like these are the chosen people of God. You were at one point, yes, you were. Mm. It was a response. It was an honor, but a responsibility. Mm-hmm. You were given the responsibility. You didn't fulfill it. And these were the same people who now, at the time of Moses, and this is another proof against people who try to bring this, because Islam honors the people with the same ethnicity, right? Moses, we love Moses. He's mentioned more than any other prophet in the Quran. His blessed mother Mary, Maryam, alayhi salam, she has a whole chapter named after her, this blessed woman in the Quran. Jesus, peace be upon him, who we love and revere, might his messenger. He's come from this ethnicity, right? Mm-hmm. Some of the prophets' wives, right? I think it was two, right? Sophia and I think it was two from this, if I'm not mistaken, correct me if I'm wrong. So again, not a Jewish-Muslim thing, but I think religion is always used many times to try to justify certain things. So you have one group who is saying that we, like Rabbi Weiss and many of these Orthodox Jews, that these people are following not Moses' teachings, they're following the teachings of Theodor Herzl. Mm-hmm. This is their prophet. Atheists, communists, these are people who actually don't believe in God, so they're hiding behind religion.
Wow. It's funny because they always say that, you know, religion is used to control the masses, but in its like original form for the three main religions, it's a spiritual endeavor. It's this is the truth, this is the way. But the people who use it to control the masses are the a-religious people just trying to trick the religious people. So on that note, my question is, why do you think there's a lot of Christians that are backing up Zionism?
Hmm. I think I just did a program. It was just, I took some notes here, and I think it's very, very important. He this is a pastor, Rick. He's in his 70s now. He's very well read, very well learned. And I asked him this question because I was thinking, like, wow. I said, how could our Christian friends out there who are, and we cannot have blanket statements. You know, there's so many Christians who are against this. Yeah. The Palestinians themselves who are Christian.
Yeah.
They're the ones on their backs. This is happening. They're suffering the same as the Muslim Palestinians. Mm. So he starts off with talking about how after post 9/11 and everything, how he was actually convinced, he was embarrassed to admit, you watch the program I did with him, he was embarrassed to admit that he fell for a lot of this propaganda that was pushed through this certain group. They were pushing this stuff out there, trying to divide Muslims and Christians. Mm-hmm. And they would push this stuff not only in the movies with the whole boogeyman and the Muslims coming to get you. And this is by, he's saying, by this particular group. And that was part of the agenda, to get us fighting with each other, to divide us and conquer. That's how you do it. And then it was pushed into churches. And then he goes even deeper when I asked him about this Scofield Bible that he had talked about before. And if you'd like, I can go over some of the notes. I think this is very important. It started off with the first phase that there was a man by the name of John Nelson Darby. This is in the 1830s. He was an Anglican priest, and he became dissatisfied with the Church of England, and he started his own thing. He moved to England, and he, in an area of Plymouth, and then he had his little congregation, I believe it was called the Plymouth Brethren, Plymouth Brothers. He was collecting, as the pastor was explaining this history, he was saying that this man, John Nelson Darby, he was collecting strange religious doctrines, things that were just far out there, extreme. And he was connecting bits and pieces and taking all this stuff, and you can imagine the kind of Frankenstein stuff that's going to come together, you know, the strangest of ideas and extreme, and he was putting all this stuff in a bucket. So then he compiled this, and phase two, a man came along by the name of Schofield, Cyrus Schofield. Cyrus Schofield came around, and he met, this man was a con artist, he was a cheat. He went to prison for some time for exactly what he was called, con man, for conning people, cheating people. This was now in the 1880s. What happened when he got out of jail, he met the man who had known Darby, John Nelson Darby. He met this man who knew him, and then all of a sudden, Schofield became a DD, a doctor in divinity. Mm. So Schofield, Cyrus Schofield, he started to go on different seminars, teaching this stuff, end of times prophecies, this new teachings that he got. And then what he decided to do was he came up with this idea of taking John Nelson Darby's teachings and putting into the Bible. Wow. And from there, he was broke. He didn't have much money. So he got a man with idea, but not much money backing to do this. After some time, the pastor was telling me that he ended up getting invited to this private club. It was called the Lotus Club. And this is only by invite. It's not something that you can just, some of the affluent, very rich. And as the pastor was explaining to me, this cost more than he'd make in maybe even a year. It was that high end. And from there, it was a lawyer that invited him to this. It was either the vice president or the president of a Zionist organization. This is where it starts getting deep now. So this same lawyer, he says, Pastor Rick Wiles, he talks about how this lawyer was the one who wrote the law passed in 1913, which gave the federal, was a part of the Federal Banking Act. So this lawyer ends up taking him to UK, to England, and he arranges a meeting with the Oxford Publishing. So he comes back, now he's got a contract, now he's got funds, he's got money, he's got backing. And now they're putting together this Schofield Bible. And from there, make a long story short, he puts this together, and this thing starts to slowly take off, and it didn't really take off too much until the 1970s, there was a book published that was called it sold 40 million copies. It was called by Hale Lindsey, The Return. It was called the Late Great Planet Earth. And in here, it talked about the rebirth of Israel, the threat of war in the Middle East, end times prophecies. And one example of this prophecy is Jesus coming back twice. Mm. Him coming back twice, Jesus removing the Christians, taking them to heaven, 7 years of tribulation, and then the Antichrist will attack Jews and Israel, and then Jesus, alayhi salam, peace be upon him, will come back to save the Zionists. So this is basically a Zionist doctrine, which was made as Christian doctrine.
Yep.
So why this is so important to know, because Christians now, many of our friends out there, the Patrick Ben Davids and the others who we're trying to have relationships with. We have a lot in common, from the sexualization of the children to family value. We have so much in common. So now this comes up and they're seeing babies being decapitated in front of them, but then they're silent. Their mouths are shut. Jesus is preaching, you know, they call him the Prince of Peace. We love Jesus. We say peace be upon him. You got people like Ben Shapiro who are saying that he was a criminal And I don't even want to say all the other things that he says about Jesus, but that's your buddy. Benny's your buddy now. But Muslims are over here saying that if you say anything bad about Jesus, you can get maybe a right hook. We're not going to fly with it. But they're quiet, they're silent, and they're seeing children being massacred. Because now, if they're a part of this Hagee and the Fox News and these type of evangelicals who have been taught that now it's sinful, actually,
wow,
to criticize this,
wow,
that this is something a part of their creed.
Yeah. Sounds like something I know.
Now you can see why they're silent and why it's so important to show them, like this pastor that I had on, that this is fake prophecy, that they're trying to see, instead of letting the thing just come naturally, they're trying to fulfill it forcefully. And that's where you get chaos. That's where you get, you know, you get all of these. Now they got contradictions with them in themselves. Mm-hmm. They're seeing like, hold on, this is not what Moses or Jesus will give a green light to. Moses came back, Jesus, they'd be fighting against this. So we need to talk to also our Christian friends and also others who are voting for this stuff, who are seeing where their $4 billion a year are going towards this. This is not a part of their creed. This is fake prophecy, fake, a fake doctrine that was put together by a con man, Schofieldism, which is basically Zionism.
Wow. SubhanAllah.
And this is why it's so important to read through the history, to know how we got to where we are. I always talk about it from the like Palestinian perspective, why it was even, quote unquote, defending itself against these people to begin with. How did we get here? And everything that led up to this point. But now from a religious perspective, it's more important because what is religion? It's supposed to be inherently from God. So if you could trace it back to a man, and a very not so upright man as you described, he was a con artist and stuff, then I think it becomes clear that it's not true if people care about truth for religion to begin with. And I think that this is a good time to also invite them to Islam, because it's like, listen, our tradition goes back to the Prophet Muhammad himself, mm-hmm. which we always claim. What we also claim, obviously, is a messenger from God, and there's evidence for that, inshallah, give that to them as well. But for them, more importantly, when you trace their lineage back, when you trace their kind of sanad, their chain of transmission back, it doesn't go to God, doesn't go to even Paul, definitely doesn't go to Jesus or the disciples. It goes to science, essentially, or this guy who took these extreme views and threw them all into one book and then corrupted the Bible with it. Because it's not like they're reading the Schofield Bible today. I think this is the point I wanted to make. They're not reading the Schofield Bible today, but they believe in it without knowing.
What they did was they gave, this is Pastor Rick, my guest who I had on, who was explaining this. He was saying they gave over a million copies for free. They pushed this out for free. And then it took off in the churches. And they were preaching this in the churches. So this became just kind of normal. And then they intertwined it. And this was something in the footnotes. So I give it to you, for example, like if you've heard of this, when we were there in the debate of the year, you can call it, with the Spencer guy. He has his own tafsir. You know that, right? Critical. He has his own. He's someone who's an Islam hater, and he's actually made a tafsir. He's actually given exegesis of the Quran. He's saying this verse, and this is what it means.
He made his own tafsir.
I mean, it's not technically tafsir, like theater or whatnot, but he's actually given explanation to verses, how they should be. Can you imagine now following someone like that, who's an extremist, who's somebody who was on the Andrew Breivik, I believe it was this manifesto, and he's somebody who is, if you would read the way he's interpreting certain verses from the Quran, you would think, okay, that would probably entice you to go do something that you shouldn't be doing. Where over here, you have the consensus of Muslims telling you this is how it is, right? So now, here's my point. Here's the example I'm trying to give. So if you take his interpretation of something's going to lead you a certain way.
Yeah.
So now you have a Schofield Bible, study Bible, and then you have certain verses. Mm. And then you have in the footnotes, it's explaining to you that verse. And now they're connecting it and giving the this interpretation to it.
Wow.
You get it?
Yeah. You know what's crazy though?
Yeah.
Is that they package it in a feel-good message.
Mm-hmm.
So perhaps maybe even the pastors that are spitting this, they're regurgitating it, perhaps they don't even know what it is. Right? And then for them, they're just trying to make it into this feel-good message. I'm sure you've seen the pastors when they are giving the message of the gospel, the Bible and all that stuff, they're passionate about it.
right? So you have these people who are listening, and let's be honest, most people nowadays are easily influenced.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have someone who's speaking passionately about something and it's making you feel good as you're hearing it, it's a no-brainer that you're going to be influenced by this.
Yeah.
Something that just kind of crossed my mind is the origin of this. So you mentioned that there was a Darby was a person who collected all the crazy views and then put them into one place. So for me, that sounds like it was a kind of a half like deranged man just taking all the crazy stuff, throwing it into a book. I think it might, I haven't researched obviously, but it might even be more probable that he took the extreme views that fit with whatever narrative he liked or he wanted. And to tie this into kind of the geopolitical realm, I think that in light of World War One, post-World War One, where the Muslims were defeated, they knew that the Muslims had a strong history of being dominant when they're united and all this stuff. And maybe this might be a stretch, but even kind of, I won't go that far. Let me keep it simple, inshallah. So now from a geopolitical perspective, I tend to rant too much. So I don't want to go down there. So to keep it simple, inshallah. I think they are looking at the Muslims as some kind of a threat.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why they divided the Middle East to different countries and all that stuff. So it could even be possible that they created this narrative of Zionism, of reinstilling Israel, because they know where it is. And they know if they fund it, that they will be basically with them to fulfill their national interests. And this is still rhetoric that we hear regurgitated today. Like Joe Biden said maybe a decade ago or so, that if there was no Israel, we would have to invent Israel, that it's the greatest investment for America. So knowing that these are Westerners who infiltrated Christianity and pushed and got funding for, I think that's a big part. They got funding for this message, actually had a political endeavor on the back end that we need to keep America, Britain, Western countries on the top and keep the Muslims kind of snuffed out. Do you think when you were speaking to your guest, do you think that would fit in his understanding of the situation?
Yeah, he talked a lot about control, manipulation. I think more people should listen to this. And I think that you guys should have him on. I think he's very well versed in this area.
Mm.
He's very, and you have Christians like that who are, we opened up the program talking about him. We know this history, but hearing it from a Christian, he was talking about when Muslims conquered Jerusalem. So the pastor is talking to his other co-host, Christian co-host, and he's narrating the story about Muslims conquering, coming into Jerusalem, and then them actually for hundreds of years, 800-900 years, how many, being in charge of the key for the churches. They're protecting the churches. So now what you're seeing, so that's why it's important to study history. And then you have, I had the rabbis come on and talk about how Jews, Christians, Muslims, how we were living in Palestine. They were living in peace.
Yeah.
There was there wasn't all this chaos. And when the Muslims, even the Ottomans, when they were in charge for how many, 400 plus years, there wasn't this chaos now, this in the Middle East with all of this. There was actually, the Jews were given their rights. This is actually embedded. This is ingrained in the Sharia, God's laws. This is, you can't take that away. It's not like something that today it's one way, and then next thing you know, they make an amendment and all your rights are gone. No, it's instilled, it's embedded in there. It's for the Christian and the Jews. So this Pastor Rick is talking about how for hundreds of years, 800, the Muslims had the keys. This was a symbol. Now they were in charge there and the churches were protected. Let alone right now, these churches are also being bombed.
Yeah,
mosques are being bombed. It's like militants in there bomb. Oh, the hospital, bomb. It just doesn't make any sense. It's like saying, okay, you got a school shooter and now there's 1,000 kids in an auditorium and now we're going to get the shooter, but now, okay, press the button and throw a bomb and kill everybody.
Yeah.
Make any sense?
Yeah. No, not at all.
It doesn't make any sense. But again, it goes back to, you know, many people who are voting for this and whatnot, like the politicians and the Ted Cruz and all these guys, and who will quote different Bible verses and say those who, you know, bless, and they'll put this particular movement in there, they're blessed, and who cursed it. So they think it's a sinful act. Mm-hmm. But now it's very important. Other Christians like Pastor Rick who are coming out say, no, this has nothing to do with our theology, our creed. They've been conned. They've been fooled. Wow. They've been duped.
Wow.
Because they're more involved in politics than the religion. They're more involved in politics. That's their religion.
Yeah.
Their religion in connection to Jesus is zero, right? They use it as a scapegoat,
yeah.
right? And it's just like those guys who Jesus turned over and started whipping them because they are in the churches, you know, doing the riba and the interest and whatnot. And then those people now who are backing this kind of behavior is disgusting.
This is why I love human psychology. And if you're just patient and you observe, people reveal everything.
Yeah.
You know, like these politicians, I'm not going to say anything about them, but they say everything about themselves. Give them enough time, they'll say everything.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this. I was listening to one of them. You live in France now. Are there no-go, like Muslim no-go zones in France where people can't go if they're not Muslim? I thought this was totally absurd, like that this is a lie. You
Muslim
can tell me
about no-go zones.
No. Let me rephrase it. That if there's Muslim neighborhoods, that you cannot go in there unless you're Muslim. Like Muslims have put up. Muslims have made in UK and then also in France that neighborhoods where only Muslims can go.
Like a holy site.
Yeah, like
almost.
I don't know if that's in France. I know in UK they may have something like this, but in France, if they do have it. It could possibly be in like bigger cities.
That's not true. No, but I would object 100%.
Yeah,
no. Muslims are saying, come to our neighborhoods. Come eat with us. Come.
Okay,
you probably misunderstood me.
Misunderstood me.
No, they're saying these are no-go zones.
There's nothing like that.
No, even in France and Muslims.
Even in the UK, in the most Sharia, I'm talking like in the Islamic Republic of Burma.
You misunderstood
even
me.
Even then,
I can
find it there.
No.
Given to you.
Okay, because the politicians you have that were on the PBD podcast, the one, he's saying that now there are no-go zones.
He said that.
But they repeat this stuff on these Hannity news stations and many of these Fox stations. So the average American is like, hold on, what are these guys up to? There's places we can't even go. But see, they're projecting. These groups are projecting this stuff onto us. They're making the people who are at most peace in their lives with their creator, with their neighbors, who are people of peace. Muslims are people of peace. People, I know what Islam did for me. You also have come to Islam. You guys have made at one point the decision to actually be Muslims, ones who submitted to the will of God. You know what Islam does for you. It doesn't call you to be extreme, radical, doing something crazy, fanatical.
Yeah.
It calls you to be at peace with your creator, the one and only one God, to be morally upright and to be good to your neighbors, no matter if they're Jew or Christian. It doesn't matter. We're not people of trying to, you know, hate someone because he's Jew or Christian. That's not what our religion teaches. But they're trying to push that out to the masses. But actually, in the cities, they have no-go zones. It's not just me saying it. This is Israelis, the Miko Pilids and the Rabbi Weissed. These are people who tell you they actually have areas that you cannot go if you're someone who's not Muslim. You have an apartheid state. You have you're someone who's probably more qualified. You know about this apartheid where the right of return, for example.
Yeah.
You know, somebody who's lived in this land, his family's lived in this land, his generations now. They don't have a right to come back, but someone in Bronx, New York, Brooklyn, in the city of New Jersey can go ahead, never visited, never been there, but they can come and, you know, have free fall, free ticket, free everything, and they can get a citizenship. Does it make sense?
Not at all.
Two sets of law for two different people. So Palestinian Muslims are not against Jews, Christians, or any other. You have live your religion, go ahead. God will judge you at the end. We want to invite you to Islam, of course.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, nobody is for stealing land, stealing homes. And this is what's happened, plain and simple. No one in America would, none of these politicians, these guys who are out there signing these bills, letting it go, would they be okay with someone just taking over their park, their driveway, mm-hmm. let alone throwing them in the basement, live there, and then putting checkpoints in the house? It makes no sense.
Absolutely.
Bro, this is why it's so important that people not go to the mainstream media for their news. They need to actually research, look at the history, look at what happened, look at what's actually going on. Yeah. Because if they look at mainstream media, if they listen to the politicians, all they're going to get is a twisted narrative.
Yeah.
And they're never going to know the truth.
Yeah. Just like Dr. Sabil mentioned, he said 75% of people who, he mentioned a stat from a group of people who basically hate Muslims, think they're extremists. 75% of them have never met a Muslim, right?
Yeah.
Now, from that percentage or from that group, only 28% of them once basically from those who meet Muslims retain that belief that they're crazy or whatever.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Most people, once they actually meet a Muslim, they're like, oh, they're chill people. They're normal people. This is the point I was going to make before. If these people actually only knew what Muslims really believed and thought, they would love to live beside a Muslim. They would love to eat with Muslims and sit with Muslims. They would love to trust the Muslims with their money more than the bank. Because they know that the bank's going to use it to lend it out to people. And if they go bankrupt, it's like, sorry, you lose 80% of your money. You can only get 20% back. With a Muslim, it'll be safe. It'll be in a safe place. No one will touch it. They won't even touch it. And you'll get it back whenever you want.
Why is it that as Muslims, we would do something like that?
It's because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one, he instructed us to. Two, we know if we disobey God, we're doing more of an injustice against ourselves. Three, the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, himself, as the best example for us, his, not just, you know, non-Muslims, his enemies, people who actually wanted to kill him, gave their gold and their treasure to him to hold, knowing that he's such a good man, even though we want to kill him, he's not going to, you know, steal our wealth.
I like what you said right there. This is an important verse that's actually in Harvard University. They have this up on the wall, this verse about justice. And they quoted a verse from the Quran that being... that holding to justice, even if it be against yourselves, your family, no matter what. So this is us. This is the history of Islam. This is something that, you know, even for my children, if I was seeing them, you know, if Muslims are teaching their children to hate a certain ethnicity, a certain group, if I heard my own children talk like that, I smack them upside the head. You know what I'm saying? Because that's not just.
Yeah.
You judge an individual by the individual. And if that individual is having these extreme tendencies and whatnot, then obviously that's something that we're against. Stealing homes, stealing land, stealing these kind of course, what human being? That's the hypocrisy that we got to call out. And this is something that, you know, when you see it with, and this is what's sad, hopefully this can awaken many of our neighbors and people out there, just get the whole picture. And many of them is misled. They getting happy because it's a programming that's going on. But that's the interesting thing. You don't believe everything when it comes to Trump, for example. You're like, fake news, fake news, fake news. Yeah. Why are you believing it here now?
Yeah.
Why are you believing it here? You're not having the whole picture. So get the whole picture. Come to a mosque, visit with a Muslim, talk to a Muslim. A Muslim is one who simply does like what Jesus, I always define these words, submits his or her will to the creator of the heavens and earth. He could be American, he could be Italian, he could be Polish, he can be like our brother here, Latino, he can be from Bangladesh, he can be from Palestine, right? Yeah. It's a universal way of life, worshiping God and being morally upright.
That was a wonderful point, Barakallahu Fikum. Before we wrap up, I do want to ask you a question. As Muslims today living in the West, the average Muslim today, what can we do to actually help and make a difference? Because, you know, there's a blockade. A lot of these, you know, fundraisers and Islamic Relief and all this, money's actually not being able to be sent right now. So what can we do as average Muslims today in the West?
I mean, I was watching and I think this is something really important. They had this MMA, this kind of washed up MMA guy. He's also with this extreme ideology.
I've seen him. He has.
And he put the Habib's name on the missile.
Yeah.
He put the Hamzat Chimai's
Hamzat
name,
Islam Akhishir.
Allah, Muhammad, and a bomb. Now imagine if that was flipped. Imagine that was flipped now. So he takes these men who have nothing to do, they're just Muslim, and they might have said something that now is in support or disapproval of the massacre, ethnic cleansing, the Muslim genocide that's happening now. I don't know. But he's over here, instead of being man enough, in their face, he puts a picture and he puts their names on a box. What does that signify? What message does that send now? What is that?
Just hate.
It's just hate. Mm. It's hateful. So the point here is he's not looking at his madhhab. He's not looking at his, you know, difference of opinion on some fiqh matters or whatnot. He's after them all. So that's one thing for us to be united, to see that now there's no, they're not discriminating if they're going to come against you, him, this person, that person. So, it should be, they've united in hate. Let us unite in love. Love for each
Absolutely.
Other. We give each other peace. Peace be with you. And we make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unites our hearts, because when that bomb hits, it's not distinguishing. Just like this guy from this MMA fighter who put the names of Habib and Hamzat and whatnot. That's the same day we're looking at you. Awesome. And live Islam. Live our deen. When you see... in Gaza and Palestine, this is another thing I spoke about, was that you see a lot of non-Muslims, not yet Muslims out there. And it reminded me of the verse where God Almighty, Allah, the creator, and the verbatim word of God, Allah is saying, they part and plan, Allah plans, Allah is the best of planners. The creator is the best of planners. So you're seeing these not yet Muslims, they're seeing like the people out there, houses, hospitals, just getting annihilated, bombed, children, just being
shelters,
being decapitated from these bombs, but they're saying, Alhamdulillah.
SubhanAllah.
They're making salah, they're still praying. They're still connected to their creator, strong. What about us here? Nagging, complaining, not making salat, abandoning our deen. So this should be also something that, another wisdom that we can go ahead. And then those not yet Muslims, they're looking at it. They're like, I want to read. They want to see what is inspiring these people to be. One is saying, I haven't seen one of them curse the Jews. Look at it. Not one I've seen in all this, even cursing Jews. The other one, I haven't seen them. Just say, they're saying Alhamdulillah, they're praising. Have you seen these videos?
Yeah.
Have you seen those?
Yeah.
You seen that? So this is amazing. So there's so much reflection, deep reflection for us, for ourselves. So many lessons that we can take from this.
Absolutely.
The main one is to hold on to our deen and try our best not to be divided.
There's actually a big movement, I think, on TikTok of a lot of people reading the Quran, even publicly on live for the first time. Just being inspired by these people, subhanAllah. So my next question is, what do you think the obligation upon Muslims are or would be in times like this? What can the Muslims do, or what do the Muslims have to do to show these misinformed people that we're not actually these extremists?
Use your social media platforms, you know, share if you don't know, share. If you care, you share. Talk to your friends, talk to your neighbors, and educate them. Education is key. Educate. Ignorance is something that's leading a lot of people to make a lot of the decisions that we're making. That's why I really wanted to discuss some of this, to talk about what I was just blown away by the Pastor Rick, who was discussing this. And just by this, I think sometimes when people get to learn, like, they've been lied to once, twice. And I think you made a good point. Like, you're going to continue being lied to and trying to figure out where the lie began and anything.
Yeah.
When you come to something pristine, something like the Quran, where these people are looking at, they open up, and you have these videos, they open up the Quran, and it's not like the lady's relaying. She's like, it's not like once upon a time, when it came to pass. She's like, the Quran just gets straight into it, tells you how it is. Because this is from the creator of the heavens and earth. This is from God Almighty Allah. So sharing, doing our obligation of da'wah, getting out there, educating our friends, neighbors, and colleagues on what the true purpose of life is, connecting them, trying to be a bridge, connecting them towards their creator, and speaking on behalf of the voiceless. They're voiceless now.
Yeah.
And this, the tide is beginning to shift and turn because people are seeing, and we ask them to put themselves in their shoes.
Yeah.
Someone came to take your apartment. Someone gave you a ticket unjustly. Someone pulled you over unjustly. We got the people go up and all hell breaks loose.
Yeah.
You got the George Floyd, boom, everybody, the whole country and everything. But imagine if some of these things that's happening to 75 years of oppression. 75 years, hey man. Can you imagine?
Yeah.
So put yourself in their shoes, share a documentary, share something, and try to remove the ignorance and pray. Keep your connections with Allah strong, with your creator strong.
Inshallah. You made an amazing point. And this is something that I wanted to say earlier, I completely forgot about. They have this idea of, like, deep down that it's okay because it's happening to Muslims, or like they have dehumanized Muslims or Arabs to the point where when they hear 75 years of illegal occupation and corruption and just murder, genocide, ethnic cleansing, for these people, some of them, it literally means nothing to them. So when they hear these people revolt, they still think they're evil. So I like the point you made, because you can go back into American history, the American Revolution, that was very bloody. Civil wars, those were very bloody. The slave revolution, where the slaves revolted, that was very bloody. And the even, you know, breaking from the Catholic Church and the start of secularism, that was very bloody. They see all these things as good because it led people to a better place. So now when you have the Muslims doing the same exact thing, why is it that they, Ukraine right now, is doing the same thing, revolting against Russia, fighting back against Russia because they invaded and whatever, whatever. Why is it now that when the Muslims do it, the Arabs do it, it's not acceptable? You have to force them to deal with this deeply rooted, ignorant perception of Muslims and this deep belief that they might have that Muslims actually deserve it to an extent. And I think that's very uncomfortable for people, but some of them, I think you need to push them to that point.
I like the example you gave of Ukraine. This is just a perfect example right there. Yeah. So these now people who are resisting, freedom fighters, everything is okay, right? Yeah. And we're not talking about, and then the whole argument, human shields and all these other things that come up. You know who gave a beautiful example? And I get impressed really when I see people who are connected, their families connected to the Holocaust. This mm-hmm. is something Islam condemns. Yeah. Norman Finkelstein.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you guys had him on?
No, yeah, I invited him, but he's
Norman Finkelstein. Now. He's a Jewish professor. He was here in Chicago, I believe in DePaul, if I'm not mistaken. He destroyed this one Zionist in a debate. I forgot what his name was, Dershowitz. Mm-hmm. And he ended up going after him. I think he got him fired anyways, because he called him out on plagiarism and a bunch of other things. Wow. Long story short, when he was asked this question about this human shields, he said, okay, we're not going to, because this is one of the common arguments that you hear.
Yeah.
And again, it's another projection of what one group of people are doing, and now they're putting it on this group of people.
Yeah.
So he said, we're not going to take what the resistance is saying, and we're not going to say what the IDF is saying. We're going to look at the human rights organizations.
Yeah.
And he's been 40 years, Norman, I advise the audience to go Norman Finkelstein. 40 years he's been covering. He's a Jewish man, academic. So he starts off with, okay, let's look at the human rights organization in Israel. What do they say about this human shield? What do they say about all this?
Yeah.
Amnesty International, what do they say? And all he lists UN investigation. He lists a whole list of them.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's like, actually, there's no evidence for it.
Yeah.
He says, he flips it. He says, actually, they're the ones
yeah.
who are actually using Palestinians as human shields.
Yeah.
I'm like, blown, wow.
Yeah. Specifically, on the point of Amnesty International, he mentioned that Amnesty International has a document titled, I think, 22 Days of Death and Destruction on Operation Cast Lead. And,
mm-hmm.
and that he said exactly that, or Amnesty International reported exactly that. Not only was there no evidence of Hamas using human shields, but they had evidence of Israel, the IDF, using Palestinians only as human shields, to the point where they would put them up in a window, put the barrel of the gun over the Palestinian shoulder and shoot them over their heads, and put them on the front of tanks. They would put them on the front of cars, so you know Hamas or whoever you know wouldn't want to blow them up, because even they know to a certain extent Hamas is more moral than them. They won't even blow up their enemy if you know innocent people are there. Subhanallah.
But I don't think if anybody here, if I asked anybody, if you are paying membership to a certain organization or you're part of you know any of the, I honestly was like, when you hear Hamas, Hamas, you know Hamas that we eat. I don't know. I don't know these groups and whatnot. All I see is, and this is the voice that I try to put out there, is when you see children, innocent children,
yeah.
when you see, I sent a message to Arnold Schwarzenegger. I saw Arnold Schwarzenegger, he put out an anti-hate message. Good for you, Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Mm-hmm.
And then he also was asked about Israel and Palestine, and he was like, I'm 100% with Israel and this, that, and the other, but, and then he goes on, and I'm like, hold on, this is great, Arnold. Anti-hate, and then he went to Auschwitz, visited the camps and whatnot. Good, we're against it. We're on the same page. But then I'm asking him, but hold on, Arnold, like, are you scared of getting canceled or whatnot? You see what's happening. This is never again, but we're seeing right now.
Yeah.
We're seeing a Palestinian Holocaust happening right now. This is unfolding right in front of our very eyes. It's like live, 4K. I mean, you're seeing it. So Arnold, did you never again accept the Palestinians? I mean, that's the thing I don't understand. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, that's a great point. And I think I have a similar example with Justin Trudeau. I don't know if you saw the video.
Yeah, he put out the video or the picture of actually Gaza getting bombed. No, Justin Trudeau. I'm thinking about Justin Bieber.
Justin Bieber did that.
Listen, man, they're both Canadians.
Yeah, you're right. Justin Bieber, and then he retracted, didn't say anything.
Yeah.
Jamie Lee Curtis put Palestinian children basically looking up the sky, scared a bomb and hit them, and said, pray for Israel. She deleted it. Justin Trudeau was at a press conference, and it's sad when you see the humanity try and come through and then it's halted by something. We'll talk about what that something is in a second, but he was saying, we need to see a cease And then he's like,
he couldn't repeat. I saw that. Yeah. He couldn't repeat it. He was just like stumbling, mumbling. And because they're scared of being canceled. They're scared of saying certain things. Now the bosses who push the buttons and give the paychecks, who endorse the campaigns, they're not going to go ahead. They're going to get canceled. Money will be withheld and whatnot.
Yeah. Absolutely.
It's disgusting. It's disgusting. And the thing I often think of, I think this is a test for everybody. We're all, this is exactly what the Quran, God Almighty Allah, is saying, that this life is a test. So everyone, you're being tested right now. And what are you going to do now? You're seeing this. You're seeing this Holocaust, this genocide happening. What are you going to do? You're just going to remain silent? And your silence is your complicitness in this.
Yes.
So God is testing you.
Yeah.
Are you going to be on the right side of history or the wrong? Are you going to be in paradise or the hellfire? Are you going to be with God? Or are you going to be with the devil, with the shaitan?
Yeah. You make an amazing point because, subhanAllah, I guess to link this to Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He does say in the Quran, this is specifically for the Muslims, that He will test you to see who is a true believer, you know, to see who's really a true believer. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He already knows who a true believer is and isn't. He just knows deep, you know, deep down within us, who is and isn't. The reason He tests us is so He can show us. That's the whole reason for this life. So we can build a case for or against ourselves on the Day of Judgment. So we can't just wake up and God says, you're going to hell, and we're like, why? That doesn't make sense. So on top of that, we can also see with the non-Muslims who actually stands for their values or not. International law, at the very least, at the bottom level of all this, international law is being violated. If there is one thing that American politicians should stand behind, it's the law. And if you can't stand behind the law, what do you stand for? War crimes are being committed. International law is being violated time and time again. And America's funding the country that's doing it time and time again. So we can see some Muslims, if they are really who they say they are, if they really believe in Islam, preach Islam, or if they have ulterior motives. But we can also see with the non-Muslims, you know, Christians, Jews, do they really believe in what they say they do? Or are they going to turn their back and become munafiqeen of their own religion all of a sudden, or their own laws?
Absolutely. Hypocrisy, yep. The biggest levels.
Yeah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us steadfast, keep us firm, forgive us for our shortcomings, make us righteous and leaders for the righteous.
Ameen.
Do we have more time? Do we have to wrap up? I think we got a session with the Deen Show, inshallah.
We got a session with the Deen Show too. Eddie, in the meantime, you know, where can we find more of you? Any of the viewers watching?
People can go to thedeenshow.com and we can go ahead and get them, if they're not yet Muslim out there, if they like a free copy of the Quran, to look for yourself, to look, does Islam promote terrorism? Does Islam promote violence? What does Islam say? What's the main message? What does it say about Jesus? What does it say about purpose of life? The details of life, hereafter, hellfire, everything that you want, the Encompass manual for life, we'll get it to you for free at thedeenshow.com.
Inshallah.
Amazing. May Allah reward you guys. Any final words from you guys?
Yeah, I just wanted to give a huge shout out to the rest of the crew over here behind the camera that no one can see right now. Your work does not go unnoticed. May Allah bless you guys.
Ameen.
And until next time.
Jazakallah khair, everyone, for tuning in. May Allah bless you all immensely. Please share this because we have, for the first time in person, our brother Eddie from The Deen Show. Share with everyone. Like, comment, subscribe. Make sure to get the message out. And we'll see you guys in the next one. Allahumma atina fid dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana wa qina adhab an-nar. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.